house that I begin to see the size of the kingdom of God. And since the beginning, he's taught me more about what the world I see really is like. And so, just very briefly, we met in Kenya a couple of years ago. We're here first. He was here speaking, and then we met in Kenya, and he graciously invited me to travel with him, and we went to a couple of the churches. And this was the response to your offering, by the way. You recall we had a drought in Kenya, and in one of the church areas, the name of the village is Guruguru. They were in fairly desperate need, and so we took up an offering here and asked that we would take them literally water, because there wasn't water they could drink. The river that they used had, where they would walk about 2 miles to the river and then walk back to the village, the river had dried up, and they were drinking from dirty puddles, and there wasn't anything to drink. And so Samuel went back with water and with food for the village, and they asked him if he wanted to run for parliament. And he said no, but that was your gift through the church in Mariakani and through our brother Samuel to those people who were in a time of need. But the interesting part about our relationship with Samuel is, of course, there's an opportunity to address need, but there's also an opportunity to understand the kingdom of God in a larger context. And so Samuel will talk some of his testimonies, but he began at age 3. He went to preschool, sat under a tree because they didn't have a school building. And the schoolmaster at age 3 with a large group of children where they all sat, and the schoolmaster taught them during the week. And because he was an Anglican Christian, he told them if they came back on Sundays, he would teach them about God and his son and about how to live with God. And so he went back on Sundays and learned to worship and to pray. And it changed his life. Children are formed at an early age by the Lord's grace, for which we're thankful. Samuel has the church in Mariakani that I've met. It's been very successful, and he'll tell you some things about it. There are now 21 other churches in Kenya over which he has oversight, and he has a habit of planting them kind of wherever he goes. And then he teaches them how to grow in the Lord and how to encourage one another, how to be equipped not only for things like prayer and worship, but how to be equipped for life and business, how to relate to one another, how to stand by your brother when he's in need, how to encourage and watch for the Lord's grace, how to see the Lord's opportunity. And so the church has been extraordinarily successful. And their stories on the blog, it's mentioned in your bulletin. You can look at those there, and it'll tell you some of the stories go on at great length. But he's with 21 churches now in southern Kenya. He also has 4 churches in Burundi, which is next door. And an interestingly rich opportunity in the Lord. They've had generations of war and genocide and tremendous difficulty. And so he's been given an opportunity to travel there. And so those things he brings to us by way of experience and exposure and insight that are beyond our own. And so I'm particularly thankful to have him here with us, and pray for his blessing on you if you'd stand and receive him as he comes to the pulpit. Thank you, my friend.
Amen. Okay, thank you, Pastor Lani. Thank you, Pastor Lani, and First Lady Patty, for allowing me to come and speak before the people of God this morning. And also I'm very grateful for my friend Brian, who made the connection for me to come when I was visiting USA this time. I remember I came here, I think it was 2008, and briefly I stood up for here for 3 minutes or 1 minute to just say hey to you, and I was able to have a lunch with Pastor Lani, and I learned that he's a man who is very wise, and in that few minutes he inspired me, and I'm grateful for that. Also, I'm very, very grateful for the love of God which I have received from this church, especially when Brother Birian speaks to some of you and the pastor, and you are able to do something which is really expanding the kingdom of God in Kenya and in Africa. So I'm really thrilled to see the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. I know we are limited by time, but I can tell you God is a faithful God. And he's full of mercy and he's full of compassion. I was born in a very poor family. And my father never went to school. My mother never went to school. And we were not working. So we were living just survival for the fittest. And when a school was started in our area, we were forced to go there because my father was not interested, because there's no education, whatever. So that Christian church which came in that area, the Anglican church, they played a big role in me knowing Jesus Christ through Sunday school. They were giving us sweets. And then because there were some fees which were supposed to be paid, my father could not pay that. So there came an uncle, a person who had a relationship with my father, who said he's going to sponsor me, help me pay for the school fees. He did that because he had given, he had six girls. He didn't have boys. Now my father had boys. So in our community there, they were degrading girls. They didn't value girls. They said that guys are for marriage only, but boys, they can be helped. So that uncle of mine supported me and helped me to continue with education until I was able to finish high school. But my young brothers who were born after me, they never got that chance. So then in that high school which I was in, there came a preacher who preached the gospel of salvation. So I got saved, I got born again, and I thank God for that experience. It totally changed my life. So when I went home to tell my father that now I am a converted, a devoted Christian born again, my father chased me from home. And I stayed in the bush for 3 days. The only one who rescued me was my grandmother, who went and spoke to my mother and said, leave my grandson to follow the way he has chosen. I'm grateful for that. So God has nurtured me spiritually in that Pentecostal church. And I got a job as a clerk and I was the bread earner of the family. Because the other brothers, there are four brothers and four girls. Two of my sisters were sold. They were not just married. They were just sold so that my father can get cows. And those cows he can sell and get some food for the home. So I became the bread earner. But I want to thank God that he's a God who cares. And he's a faithful God. So in my sermon this morning is about touch Jesus by your actions of faith. Touch Jesus by your actions of faith. Now let's go to the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I have many stories which I cannot deliver them to you at this moment. But the little is going to inspire you, encourage you, and even strengthen your faith this morning. In the book of Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. I have many verses, but I may not read all of them. The Bible, I'm using New International Version. This is not the one I use all the time. I use King James, but I came with this one so that it becomes easier for me to explain because we use one language here. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" They replied, they said, "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, who touched me?" Now, in this portion of scripture, I want to give you four things which can touch the heart of God and make God rejoice or make God happy. This woman was in pain, was in shame, was rejected. According to the Jewish law, she was unclean. She had no relationship with people. She was like a casty person. So she had the disease and also the pain of rejection. So she did her best to go to doctors. She spent a lot of money for her healing because she wanted a change. All of us want a change in our life. We want good things to come our way, and we know this is the will of God. So this woman had about Jesus. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this woman had faith. She believed in her heart that if I can go to this man called Jesus, he will be able to take care of my situation, of my problem, of my disease, of my suffering. So she took a step of faith and began to walk towards Jesus, expecting that the Lord is going to meet her at the point of her needs. What am I saying here? She had faith. And she was ready to walk by that faith, by that belief, that if I go, because of what I have heard Jesus doing, if I also go to him, he is going to help me. The truth of the matter is that there is nobody who comes to Jesus who can be ashamed. Those who trust in him, they will never be put to shame. So this woman came. There were so many people. They were thronging Jesus. They had many needs. But Jesus was not touched by those people. Those people are thronging him. So it means everybody was touching Jesus. Because if there are so many people and you are surrounded by many people, definitely people will touch you. But he didn't speak about those people who were there. He spoke about this woman who came from behind and touched the garment. And she was instantly healed. Then Jesus says, "There is somebody who has touched me." What is that thing which made Jesus speak? Is the faith of this woman. That is what touched Jesus. Because when she's decided, "I am going to touch the hem of his garment," that faith in this woman touched the heart of Jesus. So there are things which we do here on earth, they touch God. There are certain things when you do them, they will touch God. So we want to learn those things today. So Jesus spoke to this woman and said, your faith has healed you. Your faith has brought deliverance to your situation. Your faith has set you free from all types of sufferings you have been going through. God is touched by our actions of faith. There was a Muslim woman in our area. She was married by another Muslim. They had a wedding. But when this woman went home, she fell sick with an issue of blood. So this woman became a problem to that family. For they took her to hospital. They treated her the first year, the second year, the third year, up to the seventh year. So the husband, that Muslim man, took that wife and called a community meeting and said, I thought I married a woman, but I married a problem. She has made us poor because we have done everything to treat her, but she doesn't get well. So today, I want to announce before the community and the elders that I am divorcing this woman because I'm tired. The woman stood up and she said, yes, we have tried everything. And our religion despises the Christian religion. But I want you to allow me, before you divorce me, to go to church. So I am going to pray to that God of the Christians. If he hears me, well and good. If he doesn't heal me, then divorce me. The husband said, we have prayed to our God, Allah, and nothing has happened. So go and try. He spoke with an anger, with a proud mentality. So on a Sunday morning like today, this one came into the church. She sat among the believers. And after preaching, I called people in front for prayer. So she came among the people who came forward. Generally, I do pray just a prayer of faith. Mostly, I don't lay hands on people. But sometimes I do that. So, this woman was healed instantly. Remember, she was not yet born again. She just came to church the first time because she came with an issue. Is Jesus you heal me, or my marriage is broken today and I continue with my problem? So she was healed instantly. There in front when I prayed for the people. But I didn't know. Something has happened. I told people to go back. And we closed the service and went home. So when she went home, the husband said, what has happened? She said, hey, I am totally healed. I was healed instantly. Praise the Lord. The husband said, okay, I'm giving you 7 days to see if it is real. 7 days. So the 7 days were over. And the husband said, now go to church tomorrow. And make sure you go to church early in the morning. So this woman came to church early in the morning. By 7:30, she was already there at the door of the church. I usually go to church very early. So I saw that woman at the door laughing. She's just laughing. Remember, I didn't have a time to talk with her last Sunday. I just prayed for people and they went home. So I saw that woman laughing there, and she's jumping, and rejoicing, and you can't have the joy of the Lord and you keep quiet. You can't. You can't have the joy of the Lord and keep quiet. So she was happy there. And I followed her. I said, woman, are you crazy? Because the service will start at 9 a.m. And you're just laughing. Are you out of your mind? She said, you don't know what Jesus has done to me. You don't know my name, and you don't know what he has done to me. That's why I'm jumping and dancing here. Last Sunday I came here. I had this issue. And after prayer, the Lord healed me instantly. And now my marriage has been healed. From that day up to today, I don't have this infirmity. I'm well and I'm okay. And my husband said, from today I allow you to become a Christian. So today I've come to be born again, to receive Jesus, to make him my savior. Hallelujah. So her faith touched God. She heard about Christian faith. She heard about the works of Jesus. And now she took that step to come forward. There are things which you do which touches the heart of God. And we need to look for those things. Yes, he has called us to worship him in spirit and truth. That's very good. To love the Lord our God. That's very good. But there are things which when you read in the Bible, they touch the God. Because of their faith. In Mark chapter 2, there is another story there of four people who carried a person who was sick, who could not help himself. These four people, we are not told whether they were brothers or relatives or family members. But it's about four people who saw a need in somebody who could not help himself. So these people, they came together and they said, let us sacrifice. Let us carry this man to Jesus. Because they had Jesus was in the house at Capernaum. So these people, when they arrived where Jesus was, the Bible says the house was filled to capacity. And even people were standing outside. So there was no room for them to go into where Jesus was. These people said, we will not stop. We must make sure this person is helped. This person is healed. Something good happens to him. So they decided to climb the roof. To remove the roof and lower down Jesus at his feet. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, Jesus, when he saw their faith, not the faith of this sick person, but the faith of these four people, when he saw their faith, there is something Jesus wants to see. What we are doing today as believers. As we come to worship him every Sunday or every day in our life. There are things which we need to do. Because faith without actions is dead. There are things we need to do so that God is well pleased by us. God becomes joyfully because of what we are doing. To please him. So this person was forgiven. And this person was healed. You just tell me these people. Maybe they walked for 25 miles. Or maybe for 30 miles. They were tired. But look, after Jesus had healed that person. And he was now carrying the mattress by himself. You tell me what was in the heart of these four people. They will say a mission accomplished. God has met our desires. They are no longer carrying the burden because Jesus has provided the solution. So Jesus was touched by their faith, as he was touched by the faith of this woman with an issue of blood. The Bible speaks of Cornelius in the book of Acts chapter 10. This man, the Bible says, was a devotee man, a God-fearing person. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed regularly. But what he was doing touched God, until God sent an angel. And the angel visited Cornelius and told him, your offerings, your deeds have become a memorial before God. And because of that, God was touched. There are things when we do today, they will touch God. I'm seeing this happening in my life and in the congregation I pastor. One day, when you do things which touches God, God will show you extraordinary things. There was this other woman who was married to a Muslim, and she got saved and she was coming to church, and we were praying with her all the time. So I used to visit their home. The husband is a Muslim, a very devout Muslim, and I tried to share Jesus with him, and he said, I'm sorry, I cannot abandon the religion of my mother. I will follow my religion. I just allowed my wife to come there because she had a Christian background. So at the time, I used to go there to pray when there is a need, when there's a problem. And one day, this Muslim man, he told his wife, your pastor has been coming to our home, praying for us all the time. When we have needs, you call him and he prays for us. Now he has prayed for me to get a job, I got a job. He has prayed for me to get a promotion, I got a promotion. He has prayed for my children so that they can excel in education, and my daughter now is going to college. I want to bless this man of God with a cow. Now in Africa, if you are given a cow, then you have been so much honored in that family. So the sister called me and said, Pastor, there is something unusual that my husband decided to give you, to bless you with a cow. So can you come home? So I went. I said, I want the husband to be there so that he can give me the cow by himself. So when I went there, the man said, okay, let me take you, because he's keeping some cows in his homestead. He said, this is what I want to give you, Pastor. Thank you for the prayers which has helped us as a family. I lay hands on the head of the cow. I said, God, this cow is being given to me by this man who is not yet saved. Oh God, remember, as you remembered the offerings of Cornelius, who was not born again, but you sent an angel to him because of his good deeds and the things he did which touch you, God. Then I said, amen, in Jesus' name. I left. After 3 weeks, this man could not sleep. Because I said, God, if this person who's not yet born again can thank you for the good things you have done to him, God, for sure, that soul belongs to you. So, one night he could not sleep. Something was telling him, you need to be saved. When he sleeps a little bit, you need to be saved. When he gets a small nap, you need to be saved. So, he woke up in the night and said, my wife, what did you pray in church today? Because I can't get sleep. He said, no more. We just did no prayer. He said, no.
There is something here in my heart telling me that I need to be saved. The wife said, so what are you saying? He said, why don't you call the pastor to tell him to come home and pray for me to be saved? So the sister called me and said, no, I'm busy. I can't come there. It is in the night. And I cannot walk from where I live to where you are. No, I can't come because it is in the night. The man said, now, but I can't sleep. So if you are at home, I'm going to come to your house. So at 9:30 in the night, this Muslim man comes and he says, I have come. I want to be saved. Why God is saving him? Because he did something which touched the heart of God. There are things you do in your life. If you do them to please God, definitely God in heaven will mark what you are doing. And there is going to be a visitation. Praise be to God. So I'm talking that touch Jesus by your actions of faith. You read the Bible, you see so many people who touched God. One of them is Noah, after the floods. The Bible says when he came out of the floods, he took a clean animal and offered a burnt offering. What happened when after he did that? God stood up because he's made a very sweet smelling aroma. And God said, from today, I'm not going to curse the world again. Why did he do that? He was touched by the actions of Noah. There was no priest at that time. There was no pastor at that time. There were no prophets at that time. But what he did touched the heart of God. So there are things which you do today, they touch the heart of God. And God rewards them who pleases him. God visits them that they are doing things which makes him happy, which makes God happy because of what you are doing. So in the scripture, I see many people who touch the heart of God. Our father of faith, Abraham, he touched God when he was told by God to offer his own son, Isaac, on the altar as a burnt offering. He obeyed. And when he did that in obedience, because he had faith in God, what do we see God saying? God spoke from heaven. He says, now I know you fear me. Now I know you love me. Now I know you obey me. So from today, I am going to do things in your life. You are going to be a father of many nations. And through you, there will come the Savior of the world. So there are things you do in life which touches the heart of God. And this is the word of encouragement which I want to give you today. That we as believers, we as followers of Jesus Christ, we should not be just be content in coming to church and pray a little and give an offering and go back to our home and do our own things. But we should strive in our living, in our day-to-day living, to do things which touches the heart of God. Because when we touch the heart of God, definitely there's going to be a reward. Definitely there's going to be a return from our God. One day, as a pastor of the church, I usually visit the church members because they walk on foot. Maybe for 2 hours or 3 hours. So one day I decided to go into the villages to visit some of the church members. So I walked and I went. And I found this woman who comes to church. She didn't have shelter. She was just staying under a shadow of a tree. And using some paper as a cover up. And she had 6 children. She had no chair. She had nothing. So when I arrived there, I said, is this the place you stay? She said, yes. Why are you in this condition? She said, my husband died, and the family where I was married, they chased me because they said they cannot support me with my children. So I had to go back to my mother's house. And my mother is dead. My father is dead. I'm just alone. There is nobody to help me. Also, and you walk all the time from here to come to church? She said, yes. I said, it is very far because it took me about 2 hours to reach there, walking on foot. So I said, okay, and what can I do to help you? Because you are in a desperate condition. She said, I have nothing. I don't know. I said, can you assure me that this land belongs to your father? She said, I'm going to inquire from the community people if it is true, belongs to my father. So after inquiry, she found that it belonged to her father. I said, okay, can they give you a portion? Because women in Africa, they are not given inheritance at the place they are born. So you have to inquire first for you to get an inheritance. So they allowed her to have a portion where a house can be constructed for her. So I decided to help her to build that house. So I spoke to one of the leaders of the church. I said, let us join hands together. We started to build a mud house. So we bought the poles. We raised them up. Now it remained the roofing. We had no money. We have put the structure, but on top, we need iron sheets to cover it. 2 rooms. So I said, I'm going to assist this woman. And I have constructed my own mud house in the village where my father is. I decided to go home. And I went and I ordered people to remove the iron sheets of my own house, so that I can take those iron sheets and go and cover this house which I want to, this shelter which I want to construct for this woman who was in this desperate situation. My mother and my father said, you are crazy. How can you do such a thing? It is a foolish thing. You have built a house whereby when you come home, you can sleep and you are removing the roof. Who has bewitched you? I said, just leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. My wife said, you are doing abnormal things. Now, what will the children say? Now, I did that because we are in the town where I am. We have rented a house. So we have a place to sleep with me and my wife and the children. So I said, I know what I'm doing. It is in my heart. I decided to do that. Because I don't have money to go and buy iron sheets. But I think if I help that one, something is going to happen. So we took the iron sheets. We covered the house. The woman had 2 rooms. Now that action which I did, it touched the local community there. They began to say to one another, they say, if there is a church, people should go. It is this church which looks at the needs of the people. This is the church you can go. So many people after that action in that area became Christians. They denounced the African tradition religion and they are now following Jesus Christ. Now, immediately after I did that, God gave me a word of reasoning that I'm staying in a house which is rented and I have got 3 children and they are growing up and it is just 2 rooms. The bedroom and the sitting room only, because that is what you can afford. Said, I have to look for land. So I went far away from the town. I found a very cheap land, which I bought at about $200, because it's far away from the town. When I bought the land, I found a person who is not yet saved. He had blocks from coral, 5,000 of them. And he said, Pastor, I give you. But that was costing a lot of money. It cost about $6,000, money which I didn't have. So when I got that, I raised up the foundation of the house, which I'm now living in today. And then I had no money for the roof. Because of that action I did of removing my roof from my muddy house, the church members were so much touched by that action. So they came together and they said, let us help our pastor. And they were able to buy new iron sheets, and my house was covered. People gave. They sacrificed. And I was able to go into my own house. So this, for these people to do, they were touched by my actions. For those people who are now coming to Jesus, they were touched by what we did as a church in the area. So there are things when you do them today, they become a memorable before God. And God is a generous God, is a just God. He is going to reward them that do their will, do His will. So, you touch God by your actions. That's why the ministry has grown very fast. I founded the church in 2002, January. And my heart has been moved by compassion and loving people. And desiring to help them. These are poor Africans. But I said, how am I going to help them? Not just preaching to them the word of God and about going to heaven. But I have to do something which is going to transform and change their life. So through that love and compassion for the people, I started small groups. Not for Bible studies, but to teach them how they can work with their hands and how they can do businesses. Because my profession is about business and economics. So I told them, on Sunday I will preach you the word of God. But in those small groups, I'm going to teach you how to fish by yourself. Because if you are given a fish, you will eat and finish it. But if you can know how to go to the river and get fish by yourself, you will never bother me. Hallelujah. So the few we started with, they listened. And because of the knowledge I have in business, according to my profession, the studies I made on business and management and the place of work which I was working, maybe I'll give you a short testimony thereafter before I finish. These people saw that I'm not just talking about going to heaven, but I'm concerned about their well-being. How they can come out of poverty and live the good life, educate their children, and also support the work of God. Because if they have something, they can give. If they don't have anything to give, you will tell people, now it is time to give offerings. They are looking at you. Because they have nothing. So God gave me that wisdom. And through that, I saw development. I saw progress. And I saw these people coming out from a desperate situation to a middle situation. Not all of them, but just a few of them. Now, because of that, everywhere I go, preach the good news, and I also meet their needs. Because this is what Jesus did. He went and preached, and he met their needs. Now, I was not giving them food or giving them money, but I was giving them knowledge. And this made many people to respond to the gospel and to believe. And to become disciples of Jesus. So after planting that one church, we were able to plant the second church. we were able to plant the study church. We continued. And the way we start the churches is we don't build these buildings. Some of the churches, they start in a house. Or we go to the schools. We are allowed in Kenya to use the schools as a church for church services on Sunday. So they start in those classrooms. And they grew up. And after a short time, we found that they are able either to look for land by themselves and construct a shelter where they can meet and worship God. So, because of that love and the compassion and obedience to the call of God, the work has grown to be a very big work. A big work. And the fact that I love to see that those who are not going to school, they go to school. Because somebody helped me to go to school. And because of that, it's in my heart also to touch many to go to school. So that uncle helped one person. But today, I'm touching many people. I'm helping many people through the support of Brother Brian and those who are standing together with us. Many people are being touched and being helped. So you can do something today, but it can benefit a generation. It can benefit the whole community because of what you are doing today. So I'm grateful that God sees the heart of a man. He sees your concern. He sees your love. He sees your commitment. He sees your faithfulness. So God is touched by our actions. And we do that by faith. People who are willing to obey God. People who are willing to be moved by compassion. Miracles happen because of the compassion of the individual person on that issue. Miracles happen because of the compassion of that individual person on that issue. So when you are moved by that compassion, God will manifest himself. And he's going to work extraordinary things whereby you will stand to be amazed. The way I am amazed today. When I look at my life history, where I was born, in that small village in Africa, and today, I have become an international preacher. Hallelujah! And God is working extraordinary things, miracles. I don't have time to speak about the miracles Jesus is doing. Because I'm living by faith. I'm not getting a paycheck. But it's just by faith. Because God has proved to be faithful. He was touched by my actions. When he called me to serve him full time. Remember I told you I was the brain earner. My young brothers never got education. I was able to educate two girls, my sisters, and two brothers. But the other two, I was unable because I had nothing. I was still in school, so I could not help them. But when I got a job, I was able to educate my two brothers and two sisters. The other two were already married. But the two missed a chance. So they are just there. So as a bread earner and loving Jesus and committed in church, serving, helping my pastor with love and dedication, then suddenly God comes and tells me, choose. Whom are you going to serve? Are you going to serve your job or you're going to serve me? God is so kind. He doesn't force you to do things. He just asks you to choose what is right. So I say to myself, if I don't obey him to serve him, this job can come to an end anytime, but God will be everlasting and everlasting. Because it's God who has said these words. Okay, let me go and ask an opinion from my wife. So I went home. I told my wife, I want to deliver an unusual message to you today. She said, what? I said, God has told me to choose between serving him and working. But I want to choose resigning from place of employment so that I can serve him. My wife said, what? Are you joking? The moment you resign and you're no longer going to work, that will be the dead end of our marriage. I will pack and go home. You know I'm not working. I'm not doing business. We have got this one child. And you are saying, are you out of your mind? I said, okay. I kept quiet. So after some time, there came a man of God in our area. And my wife attended that meeting. And that man of God went straight to her and said, woman, release your husband to serve me. She was terrified because she didn't know there was that commotion at home. This man didn't know. And he speaks about that. So she said, okay. So when she came back home, she said, my husband, I have been shocked. In that women meeting we had there, a man came and told me that I should release you to serve God. So I have to say yes. Do what God is telling you to do. I said, okay, thank you, Jesus. So I went at the place of work. I resigned to serve God. Now, after resigning, there is no paycheck. There is no salary. My young daughter, who is at the university now, she found out that I'm not going to work because she used to see me going to work early in the morning. But she sees me at home. The girl went to the mother and said, Mom, why is my father not going to work? I have seen him Monday, Tuesday, he's at home. What's going on? The mother said, your father has resigned from employment to serve God. My daughter said, and why shall we eat? When she spoke those words, I said, God, did you hear the words of my daughter? That is what I said. Because you are the one who has told me to obey the call. And to be ready to serve. Preach the gospel. Did you hear that? So it's up to you now. God is a just God. When you touch his heart, he will stand on your side. He will stand with you. So immediately, I received an invitation to go and preach at Nairobi. So when I went at Nairobi, there was a big congregation, about 4,000 people. It was a conference, an international conference. And there were speakers from USA and speakers from UK. So when it was my time to speak, the Holy Spirit ministered to a woman by the name Shel Maxwell from Bronx, New York. The Holy Spirit told her, I want you to support that servant, my servant. For 6 months. That woman, she said she had a loud voice in her spirit. And she began to shout. And then there was this pastor from London, David French. Also the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to support my servant for 6 months. So after the service, they looked for me. This woman came and said, who are you? What are you doing in life? I said, I'm a servant of God. Are you working? I said, no. Okay. God has told me to support you for 6 months. Give me your contacts, whatever. She was shaking. After he went, about 3 hours later, this man from UK, Pastor David French also, he comes and says, hey man, who are you? I said, what's wrong? Did I offend anybody when I was preaching? He said, no. The Holy Spirit spoke to me to support you for 6 months. Now, the support they were giving me for those 6 months, it was two times or three times the salary I was being paid at the place of work. Hallelujah! Obedience pays. When you obey God, when you touch His heart, definitely there's going to be a return. There's going to be something which shall come from God towards you. So today, I'm a living testimony that when you touch God by your actions of faith, He will never fail you. He will always remember you. Though there are challenges in life, there are situations you may go through as a human being. Because troubles are always there. Challenges are always there. Trials are always there. In life, you are going to meet those things. But if you can hold on your faith and trust God and His word and His promises, you will never slumber or fail. So this morning, I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, that you continue in the good work you are doing for God. And He will visit you at His appointed time. Because if I now can come to USA, I can travel to other nations of the world by the grace of God. Not by my ability, not by my power, but by His grace. Because I have touched His heart. And because of that, He is proving to be a faithful God to my life. That's why when I pray for people, they get healed. That's why when I preach the gospel, many people respond to give their life to Jesus Christ. I don't force things, but they happen. Praise be to God. So my brothers and sisters, I want to give you a scripture which is going to emphasize on what I have spoken. There are four things, in case you forget, the things which touches the heart of God. Number one is faith. Your faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Number two, sacrifice. Those are things which touches the heart of God and can change even the mind of God in regard to a situation. You see David offering, after preparing an altar and offered an offering, God changed his mind and was able to heal the land which was under curse and people were dying. The third thing which touches the heart of God is your obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my teachings. John 14:13 there. If you love me, you shall obey my teachings. So there are things which touches the heart of God. And the fourth thing is your compassion to other people. Your desire to help the people of God. Your love to support others, that touches the heart of God. Because as you do that, you are doing it in faith. You are doing it with love. You are doing it in obedience to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Because the church is supposed to be a place where the hopeless come and they find hope. The church is a place whereby those who are discouraged, they come and they get encouragement. The church is a place whereby those who are rejected by the society, they come and they're embraced in the house of God. And you can only do that by compassion, by love, and by kindness. So in Hebrew, I'm finishing by this scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I'm just reading Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 to show you that God will never forget. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says like this. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. This is the conclusion of this message. That God is not unjust. In other words, he sees your actions. He sees your doings. He sees your faith. He sees your love. On that day, Jesus will say, I was sick and you visited me. On that day, Jesus will say, I was poor and you gave me clothes. On that day, Jesus will say, I was hungry and you fed me. So he says here, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. May the Lord give you these four things in your heart: faith, sacrifice, obedience, and kindness. These things, when you do them, you will always touch the heart of God. And God will release supernatural grace and favor over your life. May the Lord bless his word and bless his people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We bless your name, Lord. You are great God. You are worth your praise. You are worth your honor. You are worth your power. You are worth your dominion. You are worth your honor. As we stand in the presence of God, because Jesus is here, I want to pray for somebody who is here and he has an issue in his life. God is going to minister to you because he loves you more than maybe you think of yourself. You have got depression, oppression, any kind of a situation, a problem which is disturbing you. You have come into the house of God. And this is what I believe: when people come into the house of God, they come also with their needs. You are heartbroken. There are things which is like a mountain over your life, over your mind. You are saying, how will I come out of this situation? God's love is here. Jesus is here because we have gathered in his name. And he sees your situation. He sees your ailment. He sees your disease. He sees anything which is disturbing you. The way I did on that day, praying for people generally, and Jesus healed that woman with an issue of blood for 7 years instantly, is the same Jesus who is here. And he can do anything regard to your life and regard to your problem and regard to your situation. So I just want to give you an opportunity so that we can pray together by faith. We join your faith and my faith, and that God, by his divine grace and divine power, can minister to your need. So if there's anybody of such type who wants prayer for a situation in his life, you are welcome before the altar of God. You can come now so that we can pray. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The presence of God is here. So I'll ask the ministers who are here to help me pray together with these people of God. The leaders who are concerned in ministry, come and begin to lay hands on the people as we join our faith together, as we pray for one another in love, so that God can minister to the needs they have in their hearts right now, in the name of Jesus. You are here, Jesus, to minister to your people. You are here, Jesus, to touch their hearts, to heal their wounded hearts, to heal their pain, to remove all the shackles, to take away all their sufferings, to take away all their problems, to take away all their conditions and situations, oh God, which they are disturbing their life. I call upon your name, Jesus, that by your divine power, touch your people, Lord. Minister to your people, oh my God. I pray that you take away all oppressions of the devil. Take away all the depression. Take away all the pain. Take away all the things which are disturbing your people, oh my God. I pray that you remove all the mountains on their way. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to heal the sick, oh my God. The anointing of God, break every yoke. Lord, deliver your people from suffering, from pain, from suffering, from pain, from disease. Oh God, I pray you minister to the situations of your people this day. Take away their problems. Take away their sufferings. Take away, oh God, anything which is hindering them, oh Father, to praise you and to thank you for thy goodness, oh my God. Heal the sick, oh Lord Jesus. Break every work of the devil. Destroy every work of Satan. Let your people go free. Let your people rejoice and be happy because of your goodness, oh my God. Turn their mourning into dancing. Take away their tears, oh my God, and give them joy and gladness in the name of Jesus. By your divine power, my God, I pray you minister to every need and every desire of your people who have come before thee, oh my God, because they know you are able, oh God, to meet their needs, oh my Father. Meet every one of them, oh God, at the point of their needs, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, our Father, our God, because you are doing it now. You are healing now. You are setting free now. You are delivering now. You are helping somebody today. You are taking away their tears. You are taking away, oh God, all their pain in their hearts. All the wounds are healed now, God. Let there be restoration. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be peace with one another. Let there be love, oh my God, and that your name be glorified and praised. I thank you, I worship you, and I adore you. In Jesus' name I have prayed and believed. And all the people said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord meet your need. May the Lord meet every desire you have come for this day. The Lord bless you. Love you. God bless you. Welcome, Pastor.